Hello everyone, welcome to Stories and Stanza. This is episode 3 of the Fail With Me series, where we embrace the inevitable journey of failure and discover its profound lessons. I am Obro, your host, and I invite you to join me on a candid exploration of setbacks and missteps and the valuable insights they bring. In a world where success is celebrated, and failure is often whispered about in hushed tones, Fail With Me is my attempt to flip the script so we shed light on the shadows of defeat, recognizing them as a fertile ground where seeds of growth are sown. Throughout this series, I'll share my own failures, the rejections, the flops, and the moments when everything seemed to crumble. But instead of dwelling on defeat, we will delve into the transformative power of resilience, perseverance, and self-reflection. Each episode is a testament to the fact that failure is not an endpoint, but a crucial stepping stone to the personal and professional development. From career setbacks to relationship struggles, we'll explore various experiences, unearthing the wisdom hidden with each stumble. So when you are grappling with a recent setback or simply seeking inspiration on your journey, Fail With Me offers a supportive space to embrace the messy, imperfect, and ultimately enriching process of failure. Join me as we navigate the highs and lows of life together. And remember, failure is not the end, but the beginning of something extraordinary. Please join me in welcoming Sarah Zink to this new episode of Fail With Me. Sarah is a retired consultant and behaviorist living in Central America in the beautiful mountains of Panama. She is passionate about emotional intelligence and mindful living. She has authored several books, hosted radio and TV shows, and built and sold several businesses. Thank you. Hi, Sarah. Welcome back to Stories and Stanza. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. And thank you so much for including me.
I'm sure we can move forward from the first episode, like it was the beginning of the series. But today we'll take a deeper dive into this. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. Okay. And for those who are joining for the first time today, I'll leave a link to the first episode that we recorded a couple of weeks ago. So in the first episode, we discussed about some basics around failure. And as I mentioned that today we'll be exploring some more additional topics around that. So today's episode is titled, What Are You Feeling? So Sarah, we mentioned the feeling will concept in passing in the first episode, and we promised to return to it later. So it's something I wanted to start with today. And can you please share some details around it? That'll be fantastic.
Sure. You know, one of the things that's important for people to understand is that we feel things and we are taught how to respond to those feelings, but a lot of times we don't know what we feel. And so the purpose of a feeling wheel is to be able to help us drive down to what exactly it is we're feeling. The feeling wheel helps us identify what the emotions are, because if you don't know what you're feeling, Obro, you really don't know how to address it. And so the power behind a feeling wheel is being able to say, oh, I thought I was angry, but I'm really disappointed. And then you can dig into what that is, and you can help heal, or you can help manage your emotions. But if you don't know what you're feeling, you really are powerless.
I have taken a printout of the feeling wheel, and I have it in my hand. So I'll add this as a resource to anyone who might want to take it, maybe print out and see how they can use it.
Yes.
So can we talk about that? Like, what are the three layers of circles, and what's level 1, 2, and 3?
Sure. So an important thing to know is that there is no one right feeling wheel. These were developed back in the early 80s. There's quite a few people who developed different types. The one that I prefer was created by a woman named Dr. Gloria Wilcox. And I'm so excited that you're going to offer it for free. I try to hand it out all the time. But the gist of the feeling wheel is that it starts in the center with some very basic emotions. And a lot of times we know that we're sad, or we know that we're angry, but we don't really label it any farther than that. And the truth of the matter, Oprah, is that sometimes you might be feeling angry, but the more true emotion is that you are feeling jealous, or maybe you're feeling that you were disrespected. And so the feeling wheel gives the user an opportunity to either work from the center out. And when people see the visual, this will make a lot more sense. They can work from the center out, or they can go from the outside in. So they might read one of the outer rings and say, I'm feeling, maybe I'm feeling abandoned. And then they realize that that's further sadness. And so they're able to more correctly label their emotions. And it's important to know that statistically, when someone can label their emotions very specifically, they are 60% more likely to be able to handle it well.
Right. And so how do you suggest, like, someone use it? Why it is important that we sort of know what we are feeling, and what is the why is this exercise important, and how that sort of helps?
So there's several reasons. One is, it's important to know what you're feeling. Sometimes you're just upset. I have heard so many people say, well, I'm just so upset today. And that's great, but if you can't identify with better specificity what it is you're feeling, then how do you really know what to do with it? But the second thing is that we are often taught that our emotions are bad, and being able to label your emotion validates what you're feeling. We should never say, oh, I shouldn't feel that way, because the fact that you feel a certain way is, it's just neither good or bad. It just is. The important part, Oprah, is what happens next. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be fearful, disgusted. I mean, pick an emotion. It's okay to feel jealous. That is something you literally can't control. But the feeling wheel helps you label that emotion so that you can validate it, you can acknowledge it, and then you figure out what happens next. What am I going to do with this? How am I going to deal with this, or address it, or manage it?
Yeah. And I have something very interesting to link this back to. So this is related to a workshop that I attended last week.
Good.
And I talked about this I made an episode just to cover what I learned from the workshop, so that it's documented and I can go back to it whenever I needed to. And so I'm going to link the feeling wheel with Ava's workshop, as well as emotional intelligence, and I want to hear from you around that, because in my personal experience, I've seen my own struggles with emotional intelligence, and I've seen people around me struggle with it. So since we in this series we are talking about failure, could you explain what emotional intelligence or EQ is and why it's important in today's world?
Sure. One of the things about emotional intelligence that people probably don't think about is when we feel bad, we assume that it's because we've done something wrong or I'm a bad person. And so failure, I mean, I love the fact that we're focusing on failure because I have failed more times than I've succeeded. But once I developed my emotional intelligence, I was actually able to learn from my mistakes instead of beat myself up. So the point of emotional intelligence as it relates to failure is when we fail and we have low emotional intelligence, we are more likely to be angry, defensive, blame other people, totally make excuses for how we have no responsibility. But the more we develop emotional intelligence, when we fail, we're like, oh, wow, that is not good. What happened? Not who's at fault, but what happened? What can I learn from this? How do I recover? How do I pivot? And so you're more resilient. You're able to recover from failure more quickly than when you have low emotional intelligence and you're just kind of wallowing around blaming everybody.
Yes, I have a perfect example as well to talk about today.
Oh, and good.
This happened today morning. Okay, so as you know, that I've just only started this podcast and it's only a couple of weeks old, and I'm generally getting a good response from people, and they think that it's bringing out a perspective, a fresh perspective, so to speak, related to it's not just a literary podcast, but there's much more to it. So today morning I got a feedback about the podcast that it's really, really bad, and my voice is impersonal, and the background music my daughter creates and puts behind it, it's like really bad. And
oh my
it
gosh.
Distracts. And in other times, the words that I heard, it would have destroyed me. Like, getting such negative feedback, saying that the audio quality is really, really bad, and the voice sounds bad, you don't know how to speak, you don't know how to place yourself before the mic and so forth, like a series of comments. And I took that and I said thank you to that person. And why I did that, because you know, a couple of weeks earlier, if that happened to me, I would have straight away gone defensive around it, saying yeah,
right,
you don't know
right.
What I've done about this, you have really working hard towards this, it means a lot to me. I mean, you don't like it, it doesn't mean that it has, you know, you have to say such awful things about it, like it destroys me. And then I just wanted to mention this for relatability to my listeners, that I learned something very crucial from Ava's workshop, and it's when we are angry, we are kind of addicted to that, you know, rage. Like we let out that anger, and there is an addiction behind it. So if I can interrupt that cycle, I mean, I can feel bad, I am allowed to feel bad, but if I interrupt that cycle and don't let that react, And that is when the emotional intelligence comes into play. That's my sort of take around it. I mean, I know that IQ and EQ are very unrelated, but I wanted to hear from you around this. Like, I'm trying to link the feeling well and emotional intelligence and failure, all of that together.
Sure. Well, one of the things that's important to remember, actually, is that there is no correlation between IQ and EQ, because IQ is just something that's fixed, but our emotional intelligence can change. I mean, you're born with a certain personality, you are born with a certain IQ, but pretty much everything else can change. You can develop your behavior skills, you can develop your emotional intelligence, your social skills, but the catch here is it doesn't really matter how smart you are. If you cannot cope well with the world around you, then your IQ doesn't really matter. And so I also think that your ability to regulate your emotions also gives you the opportunity to focus and use your intelligence in powerful ways.
Yes, that's very true. Like, there's no relation between IQ and EQ, and I have struggled understanding this, and it's actually important that you know these things are explained in a better way, as to, you know, if we don't know and we are trying to figure out. So I'll go back. I'm just going back to my notes, and I have another thing I wanted to ask: who taught us about this, like how we deal with our emotions?
Okay, this is where it starts, and it's just so messy. So one person's parents may have taught them, "You feel what you feel, and there's no bad feelings," and that kind of thing. But there's someone else who, like, I was raised that I call it good girl training, that you shouldn't feel too proud of yourself. You should never feel too angry. You should always be nice, you know. And a lot of times men are taught that you shouldn't feel sad. Don't cry. Don't ever, you know, feel anything that might be perceived as weak. And so basically we're taught from children that our feelings are either good or bad. And different cultures, different families, different religions teach people different things. And so sadly, we learn these from our parents, who learned them from their parents, who learned them from their parents. And so it's just a vicious cycle.
So, as you know, we are talking about failure in this series. So, with failure, we are bound to experience negative emotions. So, how do we go from there to building an emotional intelligence?
Well, so let's say you fail, I fail. I've failed so many times, I'm not afraid of it anymore. You know, it's like a failure. We're taught that failure is so bad. And so here's my question to you is, what is failure? I mean, is failure we didn't achieve the objective? Is failure that we didn't learn anything along the way? I think a lot of times failure is just such a nebulous thing that we've decided that we failed. But the reality is we don't look at what we learned along the way, the connections that we made, the skills we gained, any of that stuff. So,
what is failure? It's not just yes or no, or it's a criteria that we have defined around it.
Yes. So the key here is when you fail, you're going to feel bad. It's okay. But the question is are you, you're recognizing that we have feelings, but we are not our feelings. So I feel bad because I failed, but we translate that into I'm a failure. And that's where we go wrong.
Correct. You mentioned something that really resonated with me. You cannot heal what you cannot feel. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. So let's say you were hurt by something your parents said as when you were a child, or your wife said something that hurt your feelings, or your feelings, you have big feelings about something. What happens is we hide those feelings, and then we say, well, I'm wrong to feel that way, or I'm stupid to feel that way, or I mean, pick something, right? And so we try to not feel that. But if you don't feel what you feel, where does it go? It's still there. And you will respond in disproportionate ways. You will be hurt by other things because it reminds you of this thing. So a wound, an emotional wound, doesn't go away just because you don't like it. So we have to address our feelings to heal, to move forward, to, you know, I'm not talking about getting all mushy and digging into every little thing. I'll be really honest. I have failed, but I have also been hurt. I don't believe that I have to go dig back through every single thing that someone said or did to me, but I have to acknowledge that I feel a certain way because of something that happened. And then I have to dig into that feeling. Why do I feel that way? And I have to address that.
Yes. One of the very interesting concepts that I came across in Ava's workshop is that, like, all these sort of negative feelings or kind of trauma or whatever you want to refer to, like,
sure, trauma is a good word.
Yeah. As in, these feelings that happen in the past, they become sort of ice blocks, like some kind of frostbite in our heart. And then if we feel it,
yes,
then we melt it and we let it go.
Yes, I mean, let's make this a very real example. You were hurt, or I was hurt as a child by something our parents said or did. It makes this little ice block. Sometimes we have to go back to be that child, and we feel small and helpless and hurt. And then as adults, we parent ourselves and we say, you know, they shouldn't have said that, and they did. And I know that I'm not that bad person. I know that I didn't do or say whatever I did or said that made them angry, because I wanted to hurt them. I mean, when we go back and do those things and we address those core emotions that we felt and we still feel in our bodies, think about what you feel physically when you're upset. We have to deal with that.
And it comes in different forms to different people, right? Like, so the workshop was it was things that I never knew before. It was
right.
it was like I always try to link something that I learned with something that I previously knew and try to make sense of it all together. And
yes,
I used to think that okay, anger is a bad emotion, but it's not just the bad emotion, but there is so much more around it.
Right. Remember this, and anybody who listens when we talk about failure and when we talk about bad things that have happened, because, you know, I was thinking about this week. You write poetry, and the people who listen write poetry and stories. That doesn't normally come because you've had a good day. It comes from pain and anger and fear, and it's pouring out of your heart. And so I would just say to anybody who's listening that this concept of failure and anger and you've been hurt, what you feel is not bad. The question is, what happens next? It's our response to our feelings that are good or bad.
Good. So, yeah, that's how we expanded on anxiety and anger management. So that was a big eye-opener for me. So if anyone wants to know more about it, they can play the anger management episode. They can get in touch with Eva, and I've requested her to come and join us for a conversation. She should be happy to. I think she's traveling back to US this weekend. I think we have covered what we wanted to. So we talked about, just trying to wrap up, like we talked about failure and understanding the broad spectrum around failure, then linking that with emotions, trying to understand what those emotions mean, and then building the resilience, and then like breaking the cycle or going into the next step of action. So do you think, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just want to thank you so much for including me and letting me be a part of your podcast, which I think you will always have people who will have something to say. And, you know, I've had podcasts for years, I've done them before, and you are the only one. You know, if you hire an audio person, they'll tell you if you're doing a good job or not, right? But when you have people who spew criticism at you, I think you did a great job of handling it with powerful emotional intelligence.
Yes, it was a big lesson for me when I attended the workshop, because I am kind of person who usually reacts.
Yes, but see, this is the thing. We're passionate people. And so harnessing that passion and that care and concern for life and for doing a good job, sometimes we don't know how to redirect that into a positive emotion. We just know to be angry, but you diffused it by saying, thank you for the feedback.
Yes, I diffused it and said that. And this is something I have struggled in the past as well. Like, I just thought I'll mention this because it's related and it's my story. So I am a bilingual author, so I write in my mother tongue, and which is Bengali, and I also write in English. So my poetry is predominantly in English, and my prose is predominantly in my
nice.
That's how I am weird. And I ever since I moved to Australia, I tried to sort of run a few projects where I can talk about, like I can share my writings and other people's writings, and doing some projects around that. And I get heavily criticized about it. So, and I didn't understand for a while that why is there so much of hatred when I'm trying to do a community thing. Okay, I mean, I get so much negative. I used to get negative feedbacks around that. And whenever that happened, I used to get like, I have to react to that. But now, over time, I have understood that there's no reason to react. Just say, hear whatever someone has to say, but break that cycle, break that response. What we feel how we react, they are not the same.
Yes, because sometimes you just feel angry, but there's this emotional chain of events that you've experienced that really your response has little or nothing to do with what that person said or did. They just triggered you.
Exactly. And I used to like get this anger and or sometimes outburst, but now, after the workshop, I have started realizing that it's just that I'm addicted to that negative response. Maybe, and if I just break that cycle once, and it'll be fantastic.
Well, and think about it. When we feel angry, we feel powerful.
Yes.
We look at submissiveness as being weak, but it actually literally takes more emotional intelligence and intellectual intelligence or intellectual control, I guess, to say, I can be submissive here to diffuse. It's not worth it to engage.
Correct. So thanks for the feeling well and taking time to talk about EQ. Failure today. I have a series of topics that I want to discuss with you. So let me work on the next one. And for our listeners, we want to talk about failure in relationships or friendships in our next episode. And we'll have Sarah back,
you know,
and talk about it.
I would love it too if any of your listeners want to send you questions that we could answer.
Exactly. I was thinking about that too. I'll probably create a Google form and I will put it in the episode that, you know, if anyone wants to ask us questions, they can put it there and we will get to know what those questions are and then take them in the next episode.
That'll
be fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah, and have a great evening.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Bye for now.